All right, come on, church fam. How are we doing this morning? You doing good? Feeling good to be in God's house? Excited? Man, I hope you are. I'm excited to dive into a brand new series with you this morning. Can I just have like 10 seconds to just have a moment? Can I have 10 seconds for a moment? This is just a fun Sunday for me because it's like a full-on family deal. I got my wife was leading us in worship. My daughter was leading us in worship. My son is pointing the camera at me right now. Like, we are all in, Smith family, all in, serving in church this morning. That just makes my heart feel full. I just love that. Makes me feel really good on the inside. So I just wanted to say it out loud. I also want to apologize. You might have noticed we started this service significantly later than we normally do. That is not the fault of any of our team or Dream Team or anybody. The responsibility for that lands squarely on the person who was preaching in the first service who could not shut up. Which is also me. All right, so I apologize. I have a little moment planned in the message today that I just didn't leave enough time for, and it's totally my fault, and we will not repeat that in this service, all right? So like an airline pilot who's trying to get us caught up to the schedule, that's what I'll be trying to do this morning. So I'm going to try to talk fast. You're going to have to pay attention fast. I do want to remind you that this Wednesday is First Wednesday, which includes a call to prayer and fasting for 2024. I just felt like the Lord was leading us as a church to put an emphasis on creating rhythms around prayer and fasting in our life. And so I'm encouraging you every first Wednesday of the month, everybody say First Wednesday. Every first Wednesday of the month to put some extra emphasis on prayer and fasting in your life. You can kind of figure out how that works for you. Maybe it's fasting one meal that day and spending some extra time with the Lord. Of course, only do that if it's healthy for you and your doctors say that it's okay for you to do things like that. Or maybe you fast talk radio or your favorite news outlet for that day and just don't let all the noise in. And here's the deal. Prayer connects us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world, right? And so I just want to encourage you to keep that rhythm going throughout the year this year, and then we'll gather at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings, the first Wednesday of each month, for some worship and Bible study, and I'll be speaking this Wednesday, so we'd love to have you come out and join us for that, as well as I'll be at LifeTrack tonight. If you haven't been a part of Step 1 yet, we'd love for you to be a part of that. And then you saw it in church news, but I just want to remind you, I can't believe we're talking about Easter on the first Sunday in February, but the calendar's weird this year. Easter's really early. It's the last Sunday in March, which means we're coming up quick now on our special needs Easter egg hunt that we offer each and every year. It's one of my favorite events that we do as a church family. And so if you would like to put on the green shirt, become a part of the green shirt army, and help us serve people that day, you can head over to truelife.church/serve team or open the app like you heard there in church news. If it's your first time today, my name is Michael, and I am thrilled that you are spending your Sunday with us. I'm the lead pastor, and on behalf of my family and all of our leaders, we're glad you're here. Also want to give a shout out to those of you who are watching online. Would you all help me welcome first time guests and everybody who's joining us online this morning? We're glad you're here. So we are starting a series today called Relationships. Emphasis on the re. Because we're going to relearn and reset some things when it comes to people. I don't know about you, but I have found like the thing that maybe is most difficult about this life is people. Like some of the most beautiful, meaningful moments in my life are connected to people. A wedding, that was a big day. Birth of our children, that was a big day. Some of y'all had grandbabies born. And this might sound really weird. I turned 44 next week, I guess it is. And I'm already dreaming about, like, what's it going to be like to be a granddad? Like, I think that's going to be fun. Is that weird? Am I too young? And so I look forward to those. Some of the most powerful, wonderful, meaningful moments in our lives are connected to people. And some of the most painful, disappointing, hurtful moments in our lives can be connected to people. And I made this statement last week, just kind of trying to set up this series and letting you know what was coming. And I've found this to be true. I don't know if you found this to be true, but come on, aren't people, like, just straight up, aren't people a trip? Yes? How many have experienced at least one person in your life that you're like, you're a lot? How many of you married them? I'm sorry. I did not expect that much participation, to be honest with you. I'm a little concerned. Marriage conference, May 3rd and 4th, everybody. Come on, people can be a trip, right? And so here's the problem with this statement, and I've worked really hard on the grammar for this. The problem with saying this is when it comes to people, you is one. Right? I heard a pastor say one time, everybody's got issues. And if you don't think you have any issues, that's your issue. Right? And the thing about people is like, it can be so challenging and so difficult. In fact, even just the idea of this relationship, like, it can be this series can be polarizing for people. Like, all of the extroverts in the room are like, ooh, 4 weeks about people. And all the introverts are like, can we go on vacation, or like, do I have any other options? And I want you to know wherever you're at on that spectrum is totally okay. But the deal is, you and I need each other. We need relationships. We need people. God designed us to be connected to and in relationship with people. In fact, did you know that sin was not humanity's original problem? We all think that everything went sideways when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, and it did. That's true. But sin was not humanity's first problem. Before the fruit of the tree, before any of that, before all the hiding in the garden and making clothes out of leaves, and all, before any of that happened, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, he looks down at Adam and he goes, it is not good. Hey, dude, it's not good for you to be by yourself. Humanity's first problem was not sin. It was loneliness. It was isolation. He says, I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to make another one, kind of like you, but kind of different. And the next few verses actually are pretty fascinating, because God brought all the animals before Adam, and he's naming the animals. And so God's like, poof, camel, and poof, lion, and poof, kitty cat. I mean, he's just like, he's doing whatever, you know. And he puts them in front, and Adam names them, and he's like, goldfish. You know? So and then it says he put Adam into a deep sleep. He takes one of his ribs out, and he creates woman, which literally means from the man. And he wakes up Adam, and there's his bride right there in front of him. And Adam, if you read it, he says, finally, one like me. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Finally, someone to connect with, someone to be with, someone to share all of this with. Humanity's first problem was isolation. And there are hundreds and hundreds of passages in your Bible detailing God's desire for us not only to be in relationship with him, but to be in relationship with each other. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 is the Apostle Paul, and he says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of what? Love and good works. So something should come from all of this. So something more than just like, hey, I have this cool church that I'm a part of, and I got like worship was really powerful today, wasn't it? Like, and I got a little tingly and all of that. But do you know there's supposed to be more that happens beyond that? Like, there's supposed to be a connection among us as spiritual family that motivates us to love, like our love for God should grow, but also our love for people, our love for each other, and good works. Like, we should be like, oh, you know what? There's something about being with this people and doing an egg hunt sounds good. Let's do it. Like, it's supposed to motivate us toward these things. And he says, and let us not, everybody say not, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people would do. And I've made this joke in the past, I've heard others make this joke, that you can tell Paul's a preacher when you read this passage, because he's like, let us not neglect meeting together as some of you are doing. Like, you can tell. But that's actually, it's funny, but it's actually not accurate. In context, and I'm not throwing shade at anybody because I've made the joke, but in context, Paul is writing to the Hebrews. These are Jewish people. So they have actually a very distinct and unique understanding of God's design for community. Much of the Old Testament, much of the Pentateuch, the first five books of your Bible, is God laying out these plans for his people to live in community with him and with each other. So there's this unique understanding among the Hebrews around the meaningfulness of community and doing life together. And when Paul says, don't neglect that, as some people do, he's actually drawing a contrast between the people who know what God wants and the rest of the world who don't get it. He's actually saying like, hey, you listen, you could do what everybody else is doing, but you don't want to do that. You want to stay connected. It says, so encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So if you were to attend LifeTrack, tonight is step one. Next week is step two. One of the things that we do in step two is a spiritual gifts assessment. We kind of help you figure out, like, what is the Holy Spirit doing in me that's unique? One of the spiritual gifts that is often active in my life, and it's actually kind of dangerous to be in a lead pastor role and have this gift. I'm not bragging. I actually kind of wish this wouldn't happen sometimes. The first pastor I worked for, I was a youth pastor, and I was young and zealous and a little arrogant. And he was like, man, hey, you need to be really careful with your prophecy gifting. Because if you pay attention in the Bible, and I have that, I have a little bit of a prophecy gifting, and prophecy is not just like necessarily for telling the future. If you look at your Old Testament, you know what the prophets do? They tell everybody the stuff they're doing wrong. In fact, there's only one prophet in the Old Testament that the people actually liked. That was Micah. They hated the prophets. So I'm gonna just kind of use my prophecy gifting for just a second, and I just need you to give me a few seconds for a soapbox moment, because I feel like I have to say this to our church today. Can I have a few seconds? All right, it's gonna be a little awkward for some of you. All right, so you were made to be in relationship with each other, to do life together. And Paul says, don't neglect it. And I just have this strong sense that if we'd be honest with ourselves, too many of us are neglecting it. You kind of attend. Church attendance has changed drastically through the decades, and I'm not complaining about it. It's just the reality. A person who says, like, that's my church, what they're really saying is, I'm there once every 6 to 8 weeks. And I'm so glad you're here. No matter when you're here, I'm glad you're here. I just want you to know you will not be able to create meaningful, healthy, authentic, biblical community. You will not live in spiritual family when you see someone once every 6 to 8 weeks. It will not work. Dream team, if you serve on our dream team, I want your eyeballs for a second. There are too many of you who are only in this house on the day you're scheduled to do something. Now, some of you, that's because like your work schedule's crazy and your attitude is, if I'm gonna be there, I'm gonna be busy. And that's great, that's awesome. But there are others who you've receded and isolated relationally. And so serving has lost its joy because there's no connection anymore. And now the only time you show up is when somebody schedules you to do something and you show up out of obligation. And that's not healthy. And eventually you're gonna go, I don't wanna do that anymore. I really don't even want to do it now. I just haven't worked up the nerve to tell anybody. And the reason is, it's become disconnected from people. So, I want you to know this. We don't need people to just come do stuff for the sake of stuff. We do it so that we can share our gifts and talents and make a difference together in spiritual family and in biblical community together. So dream teamers, if that's where you're at right now, I love you, knock it off, okay? Those cameras right there where we stream this service live, there's a lot of you joining for a lot of different reasons, but a handful of you, for whatever reason, you've receded from relationship. And the reason we do live stream, honestly, is for the first time guest. The new normal is for people to go search online for a church, they find us, they watch online for a few weeks, and then they go, you know what, I think I want to go experience that in person. And I've met person after person after person, week after week, who that's how they found true life. It used to be the most common way for a person to find a new church was a personal invitation. The statistics have totally flipped. Almost every week, Amanda and I meet somebody in the lobby who will say, hey, how'd you find us? And they'll go, Google. So the more you give, the more we advertise, the more, I'm just saying, all right. And so that's really why we continue to do the live stream, and then people travel and different things like that, or maybe you're someone who's stuck in a rehab facility, or you're rehabbing your body for a surgery or an injury or a sickness, or like we want to keep that line of connection open. But the unintended consequence is, for those of us who are receding relationally, the live stream has made it easy to be emotionally and relationally lazy. And to you, I also want to say, I love you. You got to stop. You need to be in relationship. You need to be in spiritual family and connected to God's people. Now, I know that's not fun to hear, but everybody who knows it's true, would you say amen?
Amen.
Okay, I will dismount the soapbox now. Because here's the thing I know that is absolutely true. I've been doing this job most of my adult life, serving people and leading people in ministry, and this is what I know is true, is that every single human being on planet Earth is craving intimacy and connection with other people. We need it. Now, you don't have to be Mr. or Mrs. Extrovert and have the whole crowd. You don't need to have to be the life of the party, but you need a handful of people. Like I said last week, you'll always be as sick as your secret. You need two or three people who know the real you, who know what's really going on with you. In fact, it would be healthier for some of you to stop blasting your drama to the whole world and have two or three or four or five meaningful relationships where you sit and process things and pray about things together and go to God's word to see what it says about what you're dealing with. It'd be healthier. So just deactivate your Facebook. Just knock it off. Okay, just one more soapbox moment. I just wanted to hop back up there for just real quick. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says this. Two are what?
Better.
Better than one. I've never met anybody. I don't think any of you did this morning. I don't think any of you woke up and thought, I can't wait to get to church so I can find out how to be worse. Right? Better is better, is it not? And it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, and you will fall. You're going to bust your face. It's going to happen. I remember my wife and I, when we first moved into this area to plant the church, we rented a little townhome over in Northeast. And I was working a job while we were building a launch team to plant the church. And we'd gotten just a little bit of ice overnight that night. And I was leaving to go to work. And Amanda said to me as I was headed out, she goes, be careful, I think it might be slippery out there. And I was just like, all like, I'm a man. You grew up in Florida, you don't know anything about ice. And I took one step out the front door. Both feet. Skipped the next step. And I'm a big boy. I was a bigger boy then. Skipped the next step, landed flat on my back. And I thought, oh no, I fell. And I didn't even wasn't worried about the pain. I was wondering, like, who saw it? Who? My wife saw it. She's like, you okay? I told you. Hey, listen, you're gonna fall. And people are going to see it. The question is, who are you with when you fall? Because you want to be with the people that are like, oh, you okay? Let me help you up. Let me dust you. I got a first aid kit. Let's clean you up a little bit. Let's talk. Let's practice walking. Let's figure it out. He goes on. He says, again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. Come on, how many know you need some people who will defend you, go to bat for you. And if you're in a fight, two beat one most times. And he says, three is even better. Now we got a small group. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I think, like, on some level, all of us know this is true, that we need some meaningful relationship, we need some meaningful community in our lives. I think on some level, we all know that that's true. But we get stuck, don't we? You get stuck in some hurt or disappointment. Somebody hurt you, and so now it's like, I don't know. I don't know if I can be okay with that ever again. Maybe you've had patterns of pain, and so like it's like, who can I trust? You get stuck in a secret, and so now like the shame and the guilt are too much, and it's like, I can't ever... be in meaningful relationship because I can't ever have anybody really know the real me. You get stuck in grief. Maybe you had a meaningful relationship and you lost it. And then you just end up in this cycle. And you recede further and further away. And your relationships become more superficial and more surfacey. And nobody like really knows you. And you don't really know anybody. And that is not how God designed us to do life together, everybody. What happens for a lot of us, especially with our childhood and the way we grew up, and I talked about this last year in a series called Boundaries. And so if you want to find the full message around this, you can go find it in the Boundaries series. It's in our archive online or in the app. But I just wanted to touch on it again because for a lot of us, if you've been to corporate trainings, you've seen something similar to this. A lot of us, the lens that we see relationships through is in what psychologists would call the drama or the trauma triangle. And it's like nobody in this picture is actually okay. And in this picture, there's a persecutor, there's somebody who's doing wrong to someone, that someone is a victim, and then somebody else is the rescuer. And you could actually be all three of these in different relationships. So you might be the victim in one relationship and the persecutor in another, and a rescuer in another. And when I talked about this last year, I showed you a whole story in the Bible where you could see this. And what I kind of hate about our current cultural mindset is we're actually telling everyone, you're a victim. Start out as a victim. Like, that's the lens you should see the world through. That's the thing. That's the place you should start from. And I just think it's so demonic and evil, if I'm being honest with you. Yeah. To just tell everybody, like, hey, look, you're just not going to be okay. It's really jacked up. But there is another option, and it's actually more in line with kind of who God is and what the Bible says about who we are. And there's a book on this, if you want to go find it. It's called The Power of TED, T-E-D, which stands for the empowerment dynamic. What we really want to do is we want to flip this triangle over. And instead of being a victim, you can take on the nature of God inside of you and you can become a creator. Come on, everybody. Instead of being a persecutor, you can become a challenger, and you need some challengers in your life. And instead of rescuers, we can have coaches. And so Dr. Henry Cloud says it this way. He says, you are ridiculously in control of what you allow and what you create in your relationships. And so the Bible actually tells us, hey, we actually have authority. We're allowed to create boundaries and to look for relationships where instead of everything being not okay, things can be okay. Wouldn't you just like to have more days where you're like, I'm good. I'm okay. You're okay. Everybody's okay. Wouldn't that be better? And so now I'm not a victim. Actually, I get to create. I get to decide. You're going to bring drama into my life? Okay. I'm going to love you from a distance. I don't have persecutors in my life, but I do need some people who challenge me. I need some people who come alongside of me and they go, hey, you sure? You sure you want to do that? You sure you want to say it that way? Is that really the decision you want to make? And I need some coach. You know what I love about a coach? Here's the difference between a coach and a rescuer. A rescuer will try to come run the play for you. A coach will just meet you on the sideline and tell you how to run the play. Oh, come on, y'all. I have lots of coaches in my life. I love coaching. One of the ways I've coached multiple men in our church is for whatever reason, like there's a lot of things I'm not good at. For whatever reason, God gave me command of the English language. I know how to communicate. My wife would tell you, I'm not bragging, but she would tell you I won her over with my words. She tells people that all the time. He won me over with his words. I did not win her over with my cleaning ability or my laundry abilities. It was my words. I've got several men who I love and I'm close to, and I just coach them through like even marriage, and they'll tell me about an argument or a conversation, and I'll just be like, did you really say that to your wife? They'll be like, yeah, why? What's wrong? I'll be like, well, tell me what was in your heart, and they'll explain it. I'll go, okay, like what's in your heart's not terrible. The words you used, she's mad. She is angry. And so I've had several guys who have just said, hey, like for the next few months, before you say anything to your wife, call me. and I will help you with the language. I'll give you some sentences. It'll still be you, it'll come from your heart, but I'll help you frame it in a way that's actually helpful. That's coaching. Come on, y'all. We all need it. We all need that in our lives. And so I want us to work on getting here. The Apostle Paul says this, hey, like you can do relationship the world's way if you want to. But he says we really shouldn't. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but God, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you what? So a lot of us are thinking about relationships based on our childhood, our upbringing, our past experiences. And the truth is, like, the Bible has a different way of doing this than a lot of the patterns that a lot of us grew up in. And so I had something happen this week. I sincerely love coaching. In fact, I recently joined a new coaching group. And I don't even know what I'm doing there. I'm in this coaching group. It's an executive coach. And we're just working on brain stuff and making sure we're emotionally and mentally healthy. And it's like 6 or 7 highly successful business leaders and me. I'm like, what? How did I get here? Like, these guys they're literally, guys and a lady, they're out of my league. But it was really beautiful in just our first 1-hour session spending time together. There was transparency, there was emotion, there was real feelings. I was like, man, that's really beautiful. And in this first gathering that we had together, we were kind of setting some boundaries. We were setting a framework for what this is going to look like, because we want everybody to be able to know, like, hey, you can come talk about the real stuff that's going on. And so the coach is kind of walking us through the boundaries. And as I'm sitting there watching him frame, like, what this healthy group is going to look like, it was Tuesday, and I'd been praying and studying for this message for today. And so I'm reading his slide deck, and I'm going, like, well, that's the same framework for healthy relationships. So as soon as our group ended, I reached out. I was like, can I have your slide deck? And he goes, yes, you can. And I was like, yes, Sunday just got so much easier. And so here's what I want to do. I recently had to swap trucks that I was driving. And I pull trailers and stuff. And so I was getting familiar with this truck. And I spent about 30 minutes in my driveway because my wife was like, what are you doing out there? Spent about 30 minutes in my driveway because in this truck, there, like all of your vehicles, there's a dashboard. And like a lot of your vehicles, part of that dashboard is digital. It's a little screen. But what's cool is this particular one, you can go in and change all the different information. Like, I have a diesel truck to pull a trailer, and so like there's a diesel particulate filter. I know none of you know what that is, but it's part of the emission system. And there's a turbo, and there's temperatures, and there's all these different metrics that you can keep your eye on when you're towing a trailer to help you know whether or not the truck is running the way it's supposed to. It's a digital dashboard. And so I was sitting out there for 30 minutes customizing the information that I wanted to have to know if the truck is doing what I want the truck to do. Are y'all tracking with me so far? And so here's what I want to give you today, because I was thinking, like, how do we do this? This is what I've entitled the message, A Relational Reset. Because I've come to the realization that for most of my life, I didn't know how, and I would be willing to bet that a lot of us don't know how to dashboard the relationships in our life and to know what's healthy and what's not. And so really, I don't even have like a lot of go do this practical steps for you. What I want to give you today is a relationship dashboard, where you can measure yourself and the people in your life and evaluate, like, how's this running? How am I running relationally? Is it going the way that it should be? Because God wants your relationships to thrive, everybody. Come on. Thrive's a good word. We should, like, name something after that. So let's invite God right now to help us think about our relational connections with each other. Let's start with a clean slate and define what healthy relationships look like, all right? So three things that I think should be on your dashboard. Number one is is healthy relationships should be safe and supportive. Safe and supportive. Now, I know as soon as I say the word safe, like that's a trigger word for a lot of people, and it's a misused word in our current American cultural context, all right? So I want to frame the word safe for what it actually means. Here's what it means to be in a safe relationship. A safe relationship is one where I can disagree with you and it's safe to disagree. You can disagree with me and it's safe to disagree. Safe does not mean that I affirm every wacky idea you have. And safe does not mean you affirm every wacky idea I have. And so culture's trying to redefine it. They don't get to. God defines it. So I have two really loving words for those of you who have misinterpreted what safe means. It's time to grow up. Put on your big boy or big girl pants. Those are the only two options. And grow up. Is that life-giving? I don't know. Is that all right? Can we go there? All right, we got it. Safe and supportive. I had Dan help me with this in the first service. I don't see him. Chris, you can help me. You don't have any major injuries or anything, do you? That you're nursing right now? Okay, come right here. This is like totally on the fly. So let's imagine, Chris, that this is not a platform. Let's imagine that it's like a mountaintop. And I've got a beautiful view. I mean, it is a beautiful view, even though it's not actually meant. You guys look good. I've got this beautiful view, and you've never been here. You've never seen it. And I want to help you experience what I've experienced. So let's just talk about the different ways that we could, in our relationship, that we could do this. One option would be for me to come down here and be like, hey, Chris, have you ever been up there? Have you ever seen the view from up there?
No.
No? Loser. What have you been doing your whole life? Like anybody who's anybody knows you have to go. Like go see it, Chris. You got to get up there. What are you doing, man? Climb. Climb up there. No, you're doing it wrong. You got to do this leg first. No. You got to put your foot. Just stop. Just forget it. You never listen to me. Sound familiar? Y'all, does that feel motivating? not motivating. There's another option where I could go. Hey, Chris, dude, you got to see what I'm seeing. Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's amazing. All right, look, if you climb, listen, give me your hand. You climb, I'll pull. All right, come on. Chris, look. Look at that. Come on, is that not incredible, right? It's amazing, right? Okay, good. Thank you, Chris. You're the best. Watch this. Safe and supportive relationships, they support and encourage. We're pulling. Like, hey, you got it. Come on. You don't want to miss this. This is good. Hey, come on. Like, safe, supporting, and encouraging relationships. Married people, can I help you with this one? Two phrases you should never use in an argument. You always... and you never. You never understand me. Like it's just so shut down. You never clean up after yourself. Might be true. Might be true. Will not help the argument progress. Come on, y'all. With me? But what you could do is, my wife has done this. Hey, I just want you to know, when you take the time to pick up after yourself and the house feels orderly and neat and tidy, it just gives me so much peace. I'm just always so much more appreciative of you when our house is clean and I know that you had something to do with it. Do you hear the difference? It's not a, hey, dude, you suck. It's completely different. All right, so there's a support, an encourage, a pull. But what most of us, the pattern most of us are in is to criticize, judge, and blame. It's the push. Like, what's wrong with you? What's your problem? That's another one you just shouldn't use. What's your problem? Men, I'm going to give you another one if in a marriage or dating relationship. Don't do that. You need to relax. There is nothing relaxing going to happen after you say that sentence. The most effective relationships are more pull than push. The healthiest relationships are more pull than push. Is this helping anybody this morning? All right, that's why Paul says in Thessalonians, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone. I hate that passage. Don't you? But it is what we're called to. Amen. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Every healthy relationship, if you're looking at your relationship dashboard, it needs to be safe and supportive. The other thing that it needs is trust and vulnerability. How am I doing, John? Trust and vulnerability. John was there for some of this when I heard it. That's why I'm... So here's the question I want to ask myself. Do I have some people that I really trust? Like, do they really know the stuff that I don't want anybody to know? And am I trustworthy? Like, if somebody shares something with me, am I gonna hold that with tenderness and care and not allow it to play into my pride and help, and this thing where I start positioning myself and seeing myself as superior and other people as inferior? That's super unhealthy. I love this passage in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, because I think it frames what trust and vulnerability and safety and supportiveness looks like in a healthy relationship. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love does what? Casts out fear. Like, I'm not afraid to tell you what's going on with me because I know you're going to hold it appropriately. In fact, you're not going to lash out at me. I don't fear retribution or punishment. Fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And I just want you to think about how jacked up all of us were, and Jesus was like, come on. I died for you. I'm going to let you be in relationship with me. Bring all of your baggage. Bring all of your garbage. Bring all of your secrets. Come on. You don't have to fear retribution or punishment. We're going to work on it. We're not going to leave you the way you are. But come on. Come to me, Jesus says. And so I know for all of us, like, this could be varying levels of difficult, right? Like, I'm probably more of an oversharer. I don't know how to fake it, so I just tell everybody more than they probably even want to know. But for a lot of us, that's not how it works. And so I thought this was great advice that I heard this week. If you're like, man, I don't know how to get vulnerable. Dating people, like, too many of us are making our decisions based on a swipe right, swipe left. Is there physical attraction? Is there passion? Is there romance? And you're not building any relationship skills at all. In fact, what you're doing is you're diminishing them. And no wonder, like, families and marriages are in decline in our country right now, because everything has become about the physical, passionate side of things. And then, y'all, can I just tell you, that ain't gonna last forever. That part of the relationship will not last. And so this is what the purity movement got wrong years ago, is we taught people that waiting until you're married for sexual intimacy is good, and it is. But then the approach to how we deal with sex was like, okay, well, then we just don't talk about it. We don't, that's bad. We don't touch it. We don't talk about it. And now we have all this guilt and shame around it in churches and in spiritual communities, and that's not good either, right? So now we have all these things that we're not willing to talk about and we're not willing to be open about. And so I want to help you with this. So if you're struggling with, like, how do I get vulnerable in a relationship, whether it's a dating relationship or a friendship or the people you're in small group with or in your marriage even, here's what you want to do. Is you want to start by to be vulnerable, just push 10% beyond your comfort zone in what you choose to share about yourself, your thoughts, and your emotions. And so if you're like, man, I just always go right here, but I really want this relationship to go to the next level and be meaningful, then just go 10%. Figure out your 10%. and take your 10%. The most meaningful relationships in my life are the ones that go past here, past the surface, past the superficial. I've got a friend that's going to come help me up while I share this last point with you. Would you all welcome Miss Denise Backus up on the platform with me? Come on, Miss Denise. How are you?
Good,
good, good. Come on. Here's the last thing that should be on your dashboard. Safe and supportive, trust and vulnerability, and healthy relationships should also create confidence and security. One of the things I love about my wife is she ain't going nowhere. She's made it abundantly clear. And she will tell you, one of her favorite things about me is she knows. We're not quitting. We're not leaving. We're sticking together. We can drive each other crazy, but we are sticking together, and murder's not an option. The D word's not an option, and physical harm's not an option. Like, we're staying. And you know what that does? It gives me confidence, and it gives us security. I have some friends that are that way. Like, I just know they're not going anywhere. They're with me. And so I just want to ask you, do you have relationships right now with people who love God and serve the Lord that are making you stronger, that are making you better, that you know you can count on? One of my overseers, Pastor Sam Masteller, you know one of the things I love about him? He's an amazing leader, amazing preacher. But on a friendship level, if you mess with me, like if people were messing with me and I called Sam, Sam would drive down to Newark, he would throw punches and ask questions later. Like, how many, you need some friends like that, don't you? Can I count on them? Will they defend me? Galatians 6:2 says, you're not supposed to do it alone. And I'm not supposed to let you. And you're not supposed to let me. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The question is, do I know what someone else's burdens even are? I forgot about this until just now. Pastor Perry said this to me recently after a staff meeting. He said, hey, Pastor, I feel like I can do my job better if I just know what burdens you, like what weighs you down. I was like, Pastor Perry, you get a raise right now. Just kidding. Couldn't do it, but want to. Do I know some burden, and do they know mine? And I love Denise, her story. I forgot to give you your microphone. A couple months ago, Amanda and I were in a room full of small group leaders, and we're just telling them how grateful we are for them and how excited we are for the upcoming semester that starts today, by the way. And Denise spoke up in there because we were telling our leaders, hey, if you hear about stories of life change, how God is moving in someone's life, we want to know that. And Denise spoke up. She's like, actually, Pastor, we need to hear more stories. We need to know what God's doing in our spiritual family so that we can celebrate the way God is moving. And as I was thinking about this message, praying about this message this week, I called up Denise and I said, Denise, you know how you said we need to tell more stories? How would you like to go first? And so we got a picture of Denise's family up here, just a beautiful family. That's Denise and her daughter, Mackenzie, who is 15, and Michael, who's 10. Michael's buddies with my son. They hang out together all the time and do stuff together. Just the sweetest kid. Love him. So Denise, would you just kind of tell, I want you to tell them a little bit about where things started for you and come to True Life. That picture 6-7 years ago would have looked different. Share with people kind of where you were at and what transpired.
Sure. So 6 years ago, I lost my husband. It was very devastating to experience something like that. You know, a young couple, young family. And And I just found myself in a place that was very vulnerable, very scared, afraid, and just not knowing what the future would look like for my kids and I. And I wanted to put my husband's stuff in a storage room. And so one day I was coming to put some more things in there, and I saw the sign for True Life outside.
So the storage unit across
the
street.
Yeah, storage unit right across the street. And so I was bringing some stuff over, and I looked at my daughter. I said, oh, Mackenzie, there's a church over here now. We have to go and check it out. And so one Sunday we came, and we came in the December of 2019. And so we came to At the Movies. That was our first time ever coming. And I was like, oh, my goodness, they have a coffee bar. This is 5 minutes from home. This must be the Lord, Mackenzie.
Coffee.
And so just making a joke, but so we came, we enjoyed ourselves. And then, as you guys know, right at the beginning of 2020, the pandemic hit. So when the pandemic hit, we hadn't come back for a while. And once we did come back, Pastor Mike was just so in tune with the Holy Spirit. I believe what God was trying to convey to his people at the time during the pandemic. And so we just, you know, started coming. And eventually the kids said, Mom, when are we going to join? And I was kind of afraid about joining and making a decision because I was always used to praying with my husband and us making a decision together. But this time it was like me, God, and the kids. And so since the kids were tugging on me and I felt good in my spirit about it, my daughter and I, we attended Life Track, which we enjoyed so much. I do encourage anybody who has not taken Life Track to take it. You'll get to hear about the church, what the beliefs are, and just find out what your spiritual gifts are. So we took that. We joined the church.
By the way, this is not scripted.
No.
I just told Denise, just tell your story.
Pastor Mike is not anything I'm going to say about any groups or anything like that. Pastor Mike has not prompted me to say any of that. This is just my personal feelings that I want to share. And I want everyone who is not involved to really get involved because it makes a difference. And so we joined Dream Team and just made relationships there. My daughter has made so many connections. And after joining, after doing Life Track, after joining the team, I said, okay, well, I need to join a small group. You know, everybody's talking about small groups. So I joined Freedom. There was a lot of buzz around Freedom. And Freedom was life-changing. For me, it was like letting go of some things that was weighing me down. And anytime you let go of something, you give yourself an opportunity to receive something even better.
So good.
It frees you up. So I encourage anyone who hasn't done Freedom or finish Freedom, because the conferences tie everything together. It doesn't mean anything. If you don't finish it, to me, it's my opinion, it just ties everything together. And then after that, I said, okay. The Lord was leaning into me about grief because I had come such a long way. It's been 6 years, and so I just kept feeling a tug in my spirit to share about grief. And one day Pastor Perry came to me and asked me if I would lead a grief group and said, do you need to pray about it, Denise? And I said, no. I just laughed. I said, no, Holy Spirit has been telling me to prepare for it. And
so you led a grief small group.
I led a grief small group, and it's been a blessing to me. It was another level of healing that I didn't even know that I needed. And just making the connections have been so great. All the people have come to the group, and we share, and we move forward in God together. It's been great.
As you think about that last 6 years since you lost your husband and then getting connected to a church, what impact have the people and having friendships and relationships and a spiritual family, what impact has that had on you, and what role has it played in helping you progress and recover and heal?
I would say, and you want to create a relationship because you want to, when I look at relationships, I take that part on the end that says ship, and a ship sails. And you want to ship that sail. So you want to get involved with someone. And a relationship should sail, not sink.
Oh,
and
so
sometimes
good.
By yourself, you would sink if you're by yourself. So I would say get into a good relationship. You know that it's a good one when it sails. And you know when you need to come out of one when it sinks.
My goodness.
And sometimes by yourself, the enemy will want you to be on sinking sand. But you want to really get anchored into your relationship with the Lord And then you want to get anchored in relationships with good people who have a mindset like you.
Yeah. When we talked on the phone, you mentioned the puzzle.
Yes. Yeah, so, and God had brought this to me years ago about a puzzle. And they have this new thing out now called an impossible puzzle, where it's just clear pieces to the puzzle and there's no graphic on there. But in life, I think sometimes we find it hard because we're trying to figure out the pieces of the puzzles of our life, because we have this image of life is supposed to be like this, it's supposed to come together like this, but then it may not come together the way you think it should be, or pieces of the puzzles are lost, they're not there, you can't find them. You have to be able to understand who your creator is, his characteristics, and what he looks like. That will help you when you're putting pieces of the puzzle of your life together. If you can see what his characteristics are, you can see how your life is supposed to go. And for instance, when you're putting together a puzzle, sometimes there's a piece there and you say, okay, I think it goes over here. And then you plop it there and you're like, no, it doesn't fit over here. It looked like it was supposed to because the color looked like this. But then you have to kind of move some things around and put it over here. When whoever created the puzzle, they had a vision for it. And they said, okay, this is going to be Mickey Mouse head over here. This is going to be Minnie Mouse head over here. So Daffy Duck is not going to fit over here. Daffy Duck is supposed to be at the bottom of the puzzle. So in life,
I can tell you got kids.
You know, take the time to figure out what part of the puzzle, you are, because God has a specific place where he wants you at. And it's our job to figure it out. And sometimes it comes from relationships and building and saying, okay, this is not, I'm not over it. I'm not supposed to be over here. I'm supposed to be over here. But you have to be able to understand your creator, if that makes sense, to be able to understand the characteristics of your puzzle piece or someone else's puzzle piece and where it belongs in your life.
So good. I'm going to preach faster in the next service so that you can preach more. We got to get everybody out of here. And we might need to start the next service 5 minutes late. Would you do one more thing for me? We didn't discuss this, so. Would you all bow your heads and close your eyes? Denise, would you just pray over those people in the church today who are struggling to connect relationally, and just pray that the Holy Spirit would draw them to their next steps today?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you and we praise you for the word that has gone forth. Lord, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that the word will take root in our heart, that we will make the application of the word that was deposited in us today, oh God. We just ask you to bless each and every person right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Lead, guide, and direct them, Father God. Show them, Father God, where they belong, Lord. Help them that they won't be shy or bashful to connect with someone, to join a small group, to come to Life Track, Father God, to go to Freedom, Father God. But Lord, just open up their heart, Father God, and draw them into others to build healthy relationships, Father God. And let them let go of the ones that they need to let go of, Father God. We just ask you to elevate us, Father God. We ask you to bless your people, Lord. Let them see everything you want them to see. Let them be everything you want them to be. Let them know everything you want them to know. Let them go everywhere you want them to go, Father God. Let them find their place, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Would you guys show Denise some love this morning? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Bow your heads with me one more time if you would. And I just want to ask if there's anybody in the room today who you do not have a relationship, first of all, with Jesus. That's what I love about the things that we talked about today that happen in a healthy relationship. He is all of those things. He does not fail. And if you don't know him today, and you'd say, I need to step into relationship with Jesus today, would you just, real quick, would you just wave a hand at me? I just want to know if you're in the room. Anybody? Okay. if you're watching online or you're in the room today and that's where you're at, like, I need a relationship with Jesus. I just want to encourage you right where you're at. Just tell him, just say, Jesus, today I give my life to you. Take over. Save me. Teach me how to be in relationship with you and with your people. Thank you for saving me. From this day on, my life belongs to you in Jesus' name. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to hurry it, but I just want to ask real quick, show of hands. How many of y'all, when you look at the dashboard of your relationships right now, you would say, you know what? There's some things that I need to look at. There's some things that need to be tweaked. There's some relationships that I've been living maybe too much in the drama or the trauma triangle. And it's time to flip it over. And I just need God's help today to help me navigate people, to be the kind of person that others would want to be in relationship with, but also to better manage my relationships, keep an eye on that dashboard, and keep myself in a place where I'm experiencing healthy community. If that's you, would you just throw a hand up at me real quick this morning? Yep, a bunch of us. So I'm going to turn it over to Chris, but let me just pray for you. Lord, we love you. Thank you for stories like Denise today, God, whose lives were transformed through your people. That's my story. We're not meant to do life alone. And this, your house, God, this expression of your church, you've intended for it to be spiritual family. Every family has a little bit of dysfunction, but we stick together. We do life together. So I just pray for those, God, who are in this house, who are holding back. God, give them the courage to step out. I pray for those who are on the other side of a camera today, God, who I'm so glad they're tuning in and they're getting encouraged by the worship and the messages. But if they're honest, they've grown disconnected from the people of God. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray you would just convict and compel us to take whatever steps we need to take to experience healthy, God-honoring relationships. Help us have a reset today. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name.